Good evening. Has anyone travelled from outside of Stoke this evening? Welcome. Did they check your passport coming in? Very welcome. What made me think of that puzzle picture then was, if we all have a different piece, we're still part of the same picture, aren't we? And I was just thinking of us all coming from different churches. I know we have a lot of different churches represented here tonight, but we all make up one picture, and it's his picture. It's a fairy tale, and it's beautiful, and so I love that. Thank you, Tracy. Does anyone think we're ready for a Radiance conference yet? Anyone? I was just in that moment then thinking, we can definitely do this. And I know the lady's a little bit hesitant. It's too soon, but we don't like to hang about it. We like to get on with it. So I'll probably give you a few more months, and then end of this year, I want a Radiance conference. And I will say as well, Radiance are our evenings where we have the most men signing up to serve. So they're not allowed to pass that little area there. We do let them out sometimes. But Radiance is so good, as I'm sure you all know now, that the men love to sign up and serve. And that, what needs doing it? Does tea need making? Can I go on the car park? So it's great that the men like to be here with us as well. It is great. So next one's the 10th of March. Get it in your diaries. We'll be meeting bi-monthly. Every couple of months we'll be here gathering. Please invite your friends along, even your friends who may not be in church. It's just such an atmosphere. They can come and get something from it. I really do believe that. So this evening, ladies, I've got a word called call forth the women. Yeah. Sounds scary, but I'm calling forth the women this evening. And this is a word that the Lord began to speak to me about years ago when I was weaned off Cherry Lambrini and came back to church. I remember reading this in my Bible, and something, it was like punched me in my stomach, and I read it and I thought, I don't know what that means, but I know you're going to come back to it at some point. And here we are probably 8, 10, 11 years later, and he's picked up the conversation. When I read it again, I thought, I know what you're talking about now. And I really feel like it's a word for this year for us ladies, and I'm so excited to release it to you. And I will say to you as well, even if you don't know Jesus, this word is for you tonight. I really believe we've all got a key part to play in this year, in whatever sphere we find ourselves in, whether it be in family, whether it be with friends and workplaces. I really believe this is a strong word for us ladies to grab a hold of. And how I think it's important, I really believe that women, particularly in churches, have a key position in holding something that's able to shift atmospheres in the churches that you find yourself in, or you're able to shift atmospheres in your home or your workplaces or all those other places you find yourselves in. And I think the key thing for us is to be ladies of integrity that make a way for holiness and purity and righteousness. And if you're anything like me, I am so rebellious, but I do it for the Lord now. And I like to ruffle feathers, and I like to shake things up a little bit, and I like to make things disruptive and uncomfortable sometimes. But I have this holy righteousness in me that I hate to see wrongdoing, that I will go for it, and I will attack it head on because it winds me up. And I think that the Lord is putting something in us this year to go after the things to maintain purity in the body of Christ, or wherever you do find yourselves. And I believe there's four key roles for ladies this year. One of them is birthing. I will touch on them all. So the first position is birthing. The second position is midwives. The third position is mothers, and the fourth position is daughters. If you have brought your Bibles with you, this will be a short message because I want us to go back into worship and ministry. But if you have got your Bibles, if you turn to Jeremiah 9, verse 17, I don't know if we'll be able to get it up on the TV. I should have planned ahead a little, sorry. So we're in Jeremiah 9, 17. I'm going to kick my shoes off because it's just better, isn't it? Taking an inch off. Can you still see me? So Jeremiah 9:17, it says, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. Consider now, call for the wailing women to come." I'll say that again. "Call for the wailing women to come. Send for the most skillful of them. Let them come quickly and wail over us till our eyes overflow with tears and water streams from our eyelids." There's a few things I'm going to pull out from that. Thus says the Lord. So it's the Lord saying, call forth the wailing women. And some of you might think, wailing women, that surely that would do everyone's heads in. But if you look a little bit further on, it says, till our eyes overflow with tears. And what was happening here, that there was a nation that was in so much sin and in so much rebellion, and they ran so far from God, that the Lord said, call forth the wailing women, because they are the ones that are going to bring everyone else's eyes to tears, which means it's the women who are leading a nation into repentance. And we really believe in Presence Church that we're going to see such an outpouring of the Spirit in the city and beyond. And that won't come before there's a sound of repentance released. And what I'm reading from this, the sound of repentance is the wailing women. Can we see how important we are to lead repentance into the churches, into the nation? It's the wailing women that the Lord is calling forward to birth this sound of wailing and repentance and people turning their hearts back to the Lord. A little bit further on in 20, it says, now you women, hear the word of the Lord. Open your ears to the words of his mouth. Teach your daughters how to wail. Teach one another how to lament. When I was looking at the word used for the wailing women, the mourning women in other versions, it's translated to strike a musical note, to chant or to wail. So even in your worship, you are striking a note that can lead others into repentance, that will give way to a move of God. And some of you may have said, oh, you're too emotional. Oh, you cry at anything. I will cry at anything. Literally, I can cry at anything. And I didn't use to. My heart used to be so hardened. I used to wear it as a badge of honor. I've not cried for years. And genuinely, I didn't cry for years. I used to work in really traumatic places and see traumatic things. And nothing would move me to tears. And when I gave my life to Jesus, I cried if I stood on an ant. Just anything would just break my heart. Anyone relate or just me? But I think women get such a bad rep. Oh, you're just so emotional. It's not a curse. It's a blessing that will bring breakthrough. So your wailing is not something you should be ashamed of. And can I just say, if you are moved to tears, I'm not from my speaking, but if the Lord is moving you to tears this evening, do not hold back from ugly crying. You know when you've watched The Notebook, that's ugly crying. Ugly, ugly crying. But if your eyes are moved to tears this morning, if your heart's moved to tears, this evening, don't hold back, because there's something that paves the way when that sound's released in a house. So tonight we are calling forth that gift of wailing. Don't be silenced by the people who may have misunderstood that that is a gift that the Lord has given you. And I felt like, me and Luke were talking about it as well, that for some it's been like that well that's been capped. And because other people have made you feel comfortable for this gift of tears that you've been carrying. And we're going to break that off tonight. We don't want any caps on anyone. We want you to be able to be released fully in wherever you find yourself, in whatever church you are in, to release that gift that the Lord's given you, because it is a gift of tears. Some are called to be mothers. And you may be really skilled in this area of intercession. Intercession, I know we have new Christians as well. We have seen so many people saved in this church every week. It absolutely blows me away. So if I'm using Christianese or Christian jargon that you don't understand, either stop me now or come and speak to me at the end and we'll talk about what I'm... Sometimes you get used to your language and how you talk and how you say things. You don't always appreciate, not everyone understands. But when I'm saying wailing, I'm talking about tears. When I'm saying lamenting, I'm talking about tears. When I'm saying intercession, I'm talking about prayer. So some are mothers in this house or other houses where you are skilled in this area of intercession. Don't neglect that gift. You need to fan it into flame. It's such a pivotal gift. And I really believe that specifically in churches, that gift of intercession is so key. It's like that furnace that just keeps things ticking over in your church. And people might not even see that you've been warring in that place of praying for the church. It doesn't matter that no one sees you. The Lord sees you and the Lord hears you. So keep being that plough that's just ploughing things forward in your church. And we see Presence Church as a well for the city and beyond. So if you are part of a house that where it feels dry, or you feel uncomfortable there, or you know there's more to it, can we encourage you to come and drink from here and take whatever water there is back to your usual churches and just keep ploughing the ground there? Keep encouraging your leaders. Keep supporting them. And the Lord said this as I was planning this message. Allow that holy anger to be stirred in you so you know where to target your prayers. Not your complaining. not you complaining about how things should be or the things that are frustrating you in your churches or wherever you find yourself. Allow that anger to be stirred within you, that it provokes you to prayer, to wailing, to lamenting over something. Don't use that frustration to complain about the situation. And Psalm 126 says, those who sow with tears reap with joy. So don't be afraid of your tears, because the Lord will reward you with joy. Some are called to be daughters. And even if you're not a new Christian, you're still called to be daughter, whether that be to the Lord. But I strongly encourage you, and this isn't an age thing, find a mother or a motherly figure where you can sit under them and humble yourself and be accountable to them and serve them and honour them. And I was thinking of Emmy, actually, probably a few months ago. She said, I really feel like the Lord's given me a gift of intercession. I said, that's great. Go and find a woman in the church who's got that gift that provokes you to jealousy and get around them. Spend time with them. Ask them, how do you do it? And I think we can all really learn something from that. And that was, as well as daughters, I really believe that crosses over into the birthing. So when we're birthing something, I really felt this year that there's going to be ladies where you're birthing new ministries, or you're going to begin to birth in the area of stepping out in new callings or new gifts that the Lord's given you. If you feel yourself being provoked to stepping out in a gift or a calling, find another person who is walking in it already and glean from them. Go and be around them. Ask them, how do you do it? And this is a role for you mothers. When those daughters are approaching you, be a mother to them. Be patient. Be kind. Spend time with them. Teach them. Be faithful to them. Encourage them. Hold them accountable. Disciple them. Discipline. Even if you are in a season, you feel like, okay, this is my year for birthing something new. I think the Lord's calling me to birth this ministry or to do this new thing I haven't done before. That doesn't mean you neglect those other areas, because you still may be in a season of being a daughter somewhere else, being a mother somewhere else. So in all my times preaching, this is the second time, I like to use visuals because it helps me to understand. So Tracy, can I borrow you? And Emmy, can I borrow you? And I don't tell people what I'm doing. I just grab them up here. So if you both link me. Happy birthday, my dear. So there's multiple positions going on here. I walked through a really, really rough time. And Tracy was my spiritual mum. So she was mother to me and I was daughter. I'm in a position now where Emmy is daughter, I am mother, okay? But Tracy birthed a new ministry last year called Radiance. So in that position, I become midwife to Tracy, although I'm still sat as daughter and she's still sat as mother. Is anyone else confused? You are women. You should be used to wearing lots of different hats. Don't think you're just serving in one lane and there's no space for you to do anything else. You may be birthing something new, but you may be mother to someone else. Okay, if you are not a Christian, you can still be daughter, mother, midwife. What's the other one? Birthing. Okay, you go. And as mothers and daughters and midwives and
birthing,
you walk together. See, we're walking together. We're leaning on each other. We're supporting each other. Thank you, ladies. Round of applause. Beautifully done. A mentor in a church or elsewhere has such a massive impact on you. I know when we were planting Presence Church, I knew nothing, still don't know a lot, but we stepped out and did it anyway. And a lady in our last church, the leader there, Sharon Baker, I asked her to mentor me because I knew I was stepping into something that she was already walking in. And that absolutely changed everything about me stepping into doing this, because I was humble enough to ask for help. She was gracious enough to give her time to me. And over that time of me birthing and her being my midwife, she became mother, I became daughter. So sometimes that proximity changes the dynamics of your relationship, and it grows into something so beautiful and so natural that you recognise your roles as something different. Mothers and daughters are such an important role. And if you see a young lady coming into church or an older lady who's a new Christian and you feel that like the Lord's just pulling your heart to them, go and spend time with them. Go and ask who they are, what they're about. How can I help you birth something? And the area of birthing isn't just, it's not an age thing. You will be holding particular knowledge and skills and experience that they need in order to step out into this thing that God's calling them into. And if you are older ladies in church, you are like absolute gold dust. Honestly, I can't tell you your wisdom and experience and how much you can sow into younger people coming through or new Christians. You are absolutely gold dust in a church. And there's a space for you as mother, as midwife. And you may even be an older lady and still be birthing. We're right here. Go, Sarah. So I truly believe 2026 will be a year for us ladies to birth promise. And I particularly felt some ladies have been holding on to promise for such a long time. And you need that midwife to help you to facilitate that birthing process. You need that knowledge to come alongside you. You need that encouragement, that wisdom to help you to bring into fulfillment what the Lord's given you. I'm nearly there. So very quickly, Exodus 1, 15. There was two particular midwives that I felt were... I really felt they were key for this example of being a midwife in this birthing process. So first Exodus 17 said the midwives, this is when Pharaoh was asking for all the babies to be killed, and they were protecting the Israelite mothers from killing their babies. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. A little bit further on, it says, so God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. In the position of the midwives' hearts, their fear of the Lord, they held on to integrity. They were courageous. They were bold. They had the right position of their hearts that even though it could have brought risk to them, they did what was right before the Lord. Even though it could have been the cost of their life, they still did what was right before the Lord. And I think in this birthing process, there was so much mixture and mess in church, as we probably all know. If you are birthing something this year, I really felt this was a particular word for someone. I really felt the Lord saying, don't take shortcuts, do things the right way. And that's where your integrity comes in. And if you're a midwife and you see a daughter birthing something that's unnatural or it's out of time or it's out of season, under the fear of the Lord, steer them to do things the right way. It's very easy to do things quickly. We like quick, don't we? But there's something in the birthing process that releases something into greater maturity. And the two names of the midwives, one was Shifra, which means beauty and fairness. And the second one was Pua, which means radiance. How amazing is that? I never knew until I just thought, I'm going to look what their names mean. The second midwife, her name was Radiance. Is that not a word for tonight or what? And there really is something in women knowing how to carry pain. As we may know, we carry different burdens. We carry a lot of burdens as women. I've worked in male prisons and I've worked with female offenders. When working with the males, they are so tunnel vision on the problem in front of them and what's going on for them. And when I've worked with women, they're worried about the families they've left behind, the shame they're carrying, the communities they've let down. It's such a different experience for men and women. And that's how the Lord's created us. It's great that we're so different. But women know how to labour and we know how to carry pain. That's why we birth. Imagine if men, never mind. When Jesus died, Peter and John went back to work. They distracted themselves with busyness. Mary learned to linger in her pain. She learned to stay in her grief, not longer than what was needed, but she learned to linger in her pain. And in her lingering in that grief, she was the one that encountered the angelic, and she encountered Jesus himself when he called her name. If you are in a painful season, can I encourage you, don't rush your way out of it with busyness and distraction. Find a mother or a midwife to come alongside you who's been where you are and ask, how did you walk through that season and how can you come alongside me and help me birth through this pain? Does that make sense? So don't rush out of your pain. Learn to linger there and hear what Jesus is saying about you and the circumstance that you're in.